Good morning. There is a need for profound emphasis on the benefits of firm religious faith. It is a low estimate of faith and a flippant attitude toward the truth to speak as the shallow-minded so frequently do, of different faiths as though no infallible standard exists for a truly established ground of belief. Jude writes in verse 3 and 4 of his letter, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." The words of Jude are summons to the saints to contend with fervor and all loyalty for something of divine importance which had been delivered to them and committed to their trust. Jude is not alone in this plea. Paul writes to Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 1:13. He pens these words to Titus, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Titus 2, 7 and 8. He tells the brethren at Corinth to watch you stand fast in the faith. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. The faith once delivered creates certain obligations of the faith. The first thing to do is to determine the faith once delivered. The term faith is used in two distinct senses, as an act of believing, as the truth on which the act is exercised. Then it is used to refer to the faith, system of truth, and is a creed. There are creeds and creeds in the world. Men have built around the fortification of divine revelation their own creeds. But amidst the multitude of creeds, the faith can still be identified. It is much like polluting a beautiful river with the streams that flow into it. The faith was polluted in the same manner. We can follow the pollution down through the years. For instance, sprinkling replaced immersion in 251 A.D., the first pope in 606 A.D., instrumental music in worship of a body of people claiming to be Christians was in 670 A.D., infant baptism didn't come along until 1000 A.D. On and on we could go. All these human dogmas which developed through the centuries since the New Testament have been made formal additions to the faith by the authority of the Pope and his Vatican councils. Certain avowed enemies of truth had crept into the church, for there are certain men crept in unaware, Jude 4. This was a word of warning to the church against heresy, not a call for defense of the faith against paganism without, or heathenism, but against error which crept into the church. Jude 3 is therefore a battle cry for the church. An invasion of the church and truth is what Jude was speaking of. These men had crept in privately. That is, the way false teachers always enter. A similar warning is found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 and 30. Paul warns the Ephesian elders, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." If you know the habits of a wolf, you can apply the language. They work themselves in among the flock. As they are approaching the flock, they will look one way and be walking in another. Men are like this. Grievous wolves shall enter in among you. Certain men have crept in privately. Be on the lookout for them, Paul said. Contend for the faith against such men, Jude said. This is the battle cry of the church. That is the call to every member of the body of Christ to defend the faith once delivered. The faith once delivered is the dogmatic faith. The treasure committed is the faith. The container that contains it is the Word of God. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, Romans 10, verse 8. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1, 17. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed, Galatians 3, 23. The text of Jude 1 through 4 contains three assertions. It asserts the existence of an organized and formal body of truth under the title of the faith, not the act of believing, but that which is believed. It also asserts that this body of truth is complete and admits neither to change nor of addition. It is a faith once delivered and admitting of no repetition. Lastly, the text specifies the trustees, the saints. The word refers to the whole company of the people of God, the church. The expression, the faith, signifies that the truth exists in organized form, an organized body of truth. The word faith is used in several different senses in the New Testament. It is used in the sense of belief, that is, the mental act of believing a thing. It is used in the sense of fidelity or faithfulness. But in Jude, it is used in the sense of a thing believed. This is commonly called objective faith. Students of the Bible talk of subjective faith and objective faith. Subjective faith is simply the act of believing a thing. It is within a mental state or process. Objective faith consists in what is believed, the object to which faith is directed. When Jesus was on the earth, people exercised faith in Christ by seeing Him and hearing Him. We exercise faith in Christ not seeing or hearing Him, but through the faith delivered us. Listen to what John says in his first letter, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, and chapter 2, verse 14. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Then he says, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him. That is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. The traditional idea that faith is lost in sight is not consistent with the meaning of faith. The noun faith means confidence, and the verb believes means to confide, trust, or rely on. The elements of faith cannot cease. We use expressions like faith will be lost in sight, faith ends where knowledge begins. None of these are unlimitedly true. Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. John 20:29. The disciples of Christ saw him, heard him, and believed. He disappeared from the scene and was lost from physical view of all. The apostles were sent to preach, and it is their testimony which produces faith. Whom having not seen, you love. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. 1 Peter 1:8-9. Therefore, the subjective faith, belief, is based upon the objective faith delivered to us by the inspired agents of Jesus Christ. Faith then exists in the form of a complete body of truth. The faith means it is specific. It specifies the faith once delivered. Once does not mean twice. It represents a single act. It represents a once delivered faith concerning which there can be no addition, no reductions. It admits of no change and of no repetition. It is the faith, and it was once delivered. Just as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, and Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Hebrews 9:27-28. The truth was delivered to men, not invented by men. It was handed down from God to man in completeness, delivered once and for all. Its principles came from the Son of God on earth, but not all was given by them while on earth. After the ascension of Christ, the Holy Spirit would reveal to the apostles that remnant of divine revelation that Jesus Christ himself did not make known to them. The Holy Spirit would show them things to come. John 14:16. Numerous religious cults today are built on the claims of continuous revelation, such as Joseph Smith and the Mormons, Ellen G. White and the Seventh-day Adventists, Mary Baker Eddy and the Christian Science. To expose these and not the mother of this error would be a failure on our part. We speak of the Catholic Church. An honest man would not misrepresent anybody, not even the Pope. We will let their own testimony speak for themselves. There are, by Roman Catholic evidence, three branches of authority in the Roman Catholic system. First and highest is the voice of the Vatican, the living Pope. Second, there is tradition. By tradition is meant the teaching of the Catholic Fathers. Thirdly is the Scriptures themselves. It stands like this: what you read in the New Testament is authority, provided the Catholic tradition has not changed it, and if the Pope has not canceled out both. So any portion of the New Testament must survive tradition and escape the papal acts of the Vatican to be of any value to the Catholic Church. The whole denominational world is committed to acceptance of continuous or progressive revelation. Human creeds have become their bond of union and communion, rather than the New Testament. The human creed is a formulated interpretation of what the Bible says. The divine creed is what it says. One final point we want to cover. Jude says, the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. The word saints refers to the whole company of believers framed into the New Testament church. It comes from the word sanctified. A saint is one who has been separated from a sinful life by obedience to the gospel of Christ. A person did not have to be dead so many years in order to be a saint, nor was a saint a select patron or matron to pray through. Now when Jude says, once delivered to the saints, he made every Christian a trustee of the truth, a custodian of the faith. Your responsibility and my responsibility is to obey the faith that once was delivered. Paul said, but thanks be to God, that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Romans 6:17. Peter writes, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. 1 Peter 1:22-25. We ask you to obey that form of doctrine which was preached by the apostles, and that is faith in Jesus Christ, repentance of your sins, confession of your Lord, and baptism in water for the remission of your sins. If we can help you, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.